play is set in London and deals very directly with the subject of racism and includes strong language.
We present Malcolm Rennie, Brian Croucher and Ade Sapara in The Right Result by Peter R. Simpkin.
First of all, I don't want to hear people blaspheming in a public station.
Who's the Mary Whitehouse fan?
They call him Mr. Dad. Detective Super Stan Conway. I don't drink, and I don't smoke.
I don't think he goes for a slash either.
Who's the face, Tony?
Norman George Driver, age 47. He's an accountant.
Lived near Potter's Bar.
No previous. Was Fairwater an ICP?
Yeah, 5 pages of previous. I'll set up an instrument room before I finish.
Good.
What about a student naked?
Yeah.
Both blank.
One up to the Cowboys. Driver's been cautioned.
Driver.
Yeah.
New in pay. Don't nag me.
Is this brief, yeah?
On his way. Ashley Lee.
Mr. Clean has got a gold as green cowboy as his priest.
Well, my answer was killing me.
Doctor.
Right.
I'm Detective Superintendent Reeves, and this is Detective Sergeant Stone. Yeah.
Now, Mr. Drove, Driver, do you mind if I call you Norman?
That's fine.
I understand your brief's on his way.
Sorry? Your solicitor.
Mr. Lee, he's on his way. Defender yours, is he?
No, I engaged him to handle my divorce.
Ah. Now, I believe you've been shown the book that contains your rights and all the procedures.
Yes, thank you.
The entire interview will be taped and a copy of the tape will be made available to your solicitor.
Oh. You all right, Cliff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is there anything you don't understand about the process so far, Norman?
Well, about my watch. It has sentimental value.
There's a Mr. Lee outside, sir.
Ah, ask him to come in, I think, will you?
Norman, sorry about the delay. Any chance of a coffee, Sammy?
This isn't a black or white.
Black. Two sugars. Now, I'd like a few minutes alone with my client.
That really isn't necessary.
Super, under section 5.
Mr. Lee, I'd like a word with you outside. Now.
You know the rules, Charlie.
And so do you. You come in here stinking of booze. If you want me to breathalyze you, fine. But don't give me that Section 5 bollocks. Driver's not one of your usual clients.
Meaning?
Meaning he's straight and an IC1. Most of your clientele are so bent they could have kinky sex with themselves. But in this case, I can't see any other result than him walking. Driver's on the tube. Three young IC3s try to mug him with a knife. In the struggle, the spook dies. The other two legged, so don't complicate things.
And did the black lad have previous?
Like War and Peace.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, about the booze. I just had a treble in the pub next door.
Oh, yeah. I'm giving you 5 minutes.
Julian Walters?
It's Tony.
Oh, Cooper. Got something?
A killing on the Piccadilly line.
Yeah.
White man. Got a mugger.
Yeah. Got a name?
Norman Driver.
And how are you spelling that?
D-R-I-V-E-R.
Mm-hmm. Age?
40s.
Got a home address?
No.
Okay. What about the muggers?
Three black kids. Two got away. Look, I've got to go.
Right. Usual, Tony.
Yeah.
Hold the front page.
If only. I've got an earthquake on an uninhabited island in the Pacific. The total death toll is 200 turtles. I mean, they're not even an endangered species.
If I told you a white passenger on a tube train had fought off a gang of muggers and had killed one of them...
Oh, get off. You've made me ball patch wet. The muggers were black?
Yep.
We'll make that clear, and the hero is white.
Ah, oh, you know we can't say that.
Yeah, not directly. But talk about there being a spate of muggings on this line. Oh, what line was it?
Piccadilly.
All right. Call the hero a regular tube commuter. Was he married?
Dunno.
No, forget it. If he's gay, we lose sympathy. Julian, is your source reliable?
A copper.
Jerry, I want one of your photographers down at, what was the name?
At Mount View.
Okay, Mr. Driver. In your own time now. Time 2309, date August the 21st, 1992.
I was coming home from the theatre on the tube. It was fairly crowded. I managed to get a seat. I started to read my book, got engrossed in it, and I was suddenly aware of swearing and shouting. I looked up, I found the carriage was empty, apart from three youths and myself. They were dancing to one of those big portable stereos, you know, and smoking. Possibly cannabis, as there was a strange smell from the smoke. And at that moment, one of the lads, the one wearing the red jacket, he became aware of me looking at him. He asked me why I was staring.
Do you remember exactly what he said?
Most of the words were the four-letter variety. Hey, C, what are you effing staring at? I assured him that I was not staring at him. And I started to read my book. And I became aware of three faces staring at me from about the distance of 6 inches. And then one of the lads spat in my face. He was the one that I, with the knife. I told them to go away. I think that I swore. I think I said, F off. And the next thing I knew, the same lad.
Carlton Fairwater, the one with the knife?
Correct, yes. He grabbed the chain, the gold chain I was wearing, and he started twisting it. And I was choking. I mean, you can see the chain marks just there.
Mr. Driver is indicating some bruising to his neck.
I'd like your FMC to examine Mr. Driver and some photos of the wound.
Yeah, we'll arrange that.
What does
Mr. Lee was asking for our duty doctor to examine your neck. Yeah, carry on, Mr. Driver.
I tried to get his hands from the chain. The third youth pulled my hand away and he tried to rip my watch off. He was wearing a grey sweatshirt with a hood. And as we struggled, the one holding the chain produced a knife, and he held it towards me. Now, at that moment, the train lurched, and the man with the knife fell sideways onto the lad holding my hand down, and he released my hand, and the motion of him falling ripped my chain off. I grabbed the man holding the knife by the wrist, and as he tried to push me away, the train lurched again. I think he must have fallen onto his own knife, and he fell on top of me. That's how I got covered in his blood. But by this time we'd arrived at Mount View Station, the other two just ran off the train.
Right, did either of the other lads say anything?
No, they just ran.
Did you say anything, Mr. Driver?
I think I said something like, just after the lad fell on the knife, I think I said something like, I wouldn't recognise you again.
But you're not sure, are you?
Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee, you know the rules. Why did you say that, Mr. Driver?
Self-protection, I suppose, in case they attack me.
Mr. Driver, you say the train was stopped at Mount View Station when the lads ran off.
Yeah? Correct, yes.
Then why didn't you raise the alarm until the train had travelled on two stops to its destination at Hadley?
Mr. Driver was in a...
Mr. Lee!
Mr. Driver, answer, please. Because by the time the two lads got off the tube, the doors were closing.
But you could have pulled the communication handle.
Button.
Pardon?
But they have buttons these days, Gov, not handles.
Yeah, well, whatever. But you didn't pull the... You raised the alarm. Why?
Because I still had the body of a youth laying on top of me. When I finally managed to roll his body onto the floor, well, there was a great deal of blood. He urinated. And I imagine that I must have been in a state of shock. I just remember sitting there staring at the blood. I was suddenly aware of a tannoy message about the train terminating at Hadley.
Oh, I see. It's just a couple of questions. Come in. Yes, York.
Sorry, sir. Chief Superintendent Turner wants you urgently.
Come in.
Ah, sir. If it's about the overtime hours, work.
Stop the overtime, it's the press tosspot.
Sir?
Driver, what do you reckon?
In what way, sir?
Are you charging in?
Well, I haven't finished questioning him yet, sir.
Charlie, look. I've just had the Yard press office on for the third time. One of the tabloids has got hold of the knifing. They rang the press office, who rang the desk sergeant here. He confirmed the basic details.
Yes, it's the usual procedure. I don't see what the problem is.
The Yard's just faxed the first edition. Headline: Vigilante Revenge Killing on Tube Train.
Oh, shit.
A man was stabbed to death on a tube train as it entered Mount View Station last night in what detectives believe may have been an attempted robbery that went wrong. A regular tube commuter, a man in his 40s, is being questioned.
Oh, very clever. I mean, that tells the public he's white without saying he's white.
It gets sodding worse. A group of young men accompanying the dead man ran off after the killing. Detectives do not believe they were involved in the attack, but they would like to question them about an earlier incident on the same tube.
Well, at least that didn't drop any hints that they were Groids.
What's this Groid business? What happened to Coon?
Well, certain of our younger lads, well, they find Coon offensive.
End and jazz. Where was I? Police are investigating a series of muggings on passengers on this line. Even the thickos that read the Daily Shit will get the meaning there were coons. Yes?
The press are outside, sir, and the leaders of the local ethnic community.
Your bollocks. Tell them I'll see them in a minute. That's all I need. The press and a protest group of local rent-a-mob are outside. Who tipped them off?
Could be PC Cooper. He picked driver up. And he drinks with the press.
Get that tosspot up here.
He's gone. I'll have a word tomorrow.
Keep me informed. How's the ulcer?
Killing me.
Julian Walters, can you give a statement on tonight's killing?
All I can tell you at this moment in time is that we are questioning a man in connection with an incident on Duke Train last night in which a man died.
Can I have your name, sir?
Chief Superintendent Edward Turner.
Is it true that
can you confirm that the dead man was black?
One at a time. I'm afraid I can't add anything to what I've already told you.
Have you arrested the gang that ran away after the killing?
That is to say,
the gang were connected with the mugging.
If you'd have given me a chance to finish my sentence, young lady, we still want to question a number of youths about an earlier incident on the same tube. Thank you.
There were some ugly scenes here in North London when an emotional protest about the alleged killing of a youth at Mount View Underground Station turned into a near riot. Several protesters were arrested and two policemen were hurt. One officer was taken to hospital with a fatal injury, but it is believed his injuries were not serious. A police spokesman would not confirm that the dead youth was an 18-year-old teenager who comes from the local ethnic community. A man is at the moment being questioned in connection with the incident. Sally Fields, Television News, Mount View Police Station, North London. Okay, Rob. Rob?
I'm just rolling it back. Yeah, it's fine.
Sorry, you're bored.
Not bored, Sally. Just sad.
I'm not. My first lead story. Wow!
Look at you, having an orgasm. You don't give a sod about these people. All that's important to your story is that the kid's black. He went on about a riot. A couple of kids throwing bottles.
God bless. So what makes you such an expert on riots?
I covered Northern Ireland for 2 years while you were still at Oxford. Drinking sampers, lovey.
It was unfortunate the press were there. Hold on, sir. Come in.
Well, Charlie, I think that in the circumstances,
I've got the assistant commissioner on the phone. Are we charging him?
Bail, Gov.
Sir, the DS informs me that there is no evidence to charge driver with at the moment, so he will be bailed.
Wonderful.
Yes, sir. Tosspot. What's the story?
I've got the scene of crime photos. All they really do is to confirm driver's story. You can see clearly in this shot the knife in the groin in Fairwater's right hand. I've got the preliminary forensic reports. Again, they tie in with Driver's story. One single knife wound to the upper left chest, consistent with Fairwater falling on his own knife.
And what we find in the ning-nogs that did the runner?
No. But I've had a photo fit made up.
What's on Fairwater's sheet?
Mostly takeaways, cars. Well, they had one conviction as a juvenile for GBH.
Good. You look terrible, Charlie. Go on.
Yeah. I think I'll ring the specialist.
Well, Super, can Mr. Driver go now?
Mr. Driver, I'm prepared to release you on bail, providing you agree to certain conditions. Number one, you will surrender yourself to this police station in 28 days' time. That would be...
The 18th of September.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Driver. Two, you surrender your passport.
Ah. I have a meeting with a client in Spain on the 1st of September.
I'll see what I can do. I must caution you that if you fail to surrender yourself on the date set for your return, you will be arrested and committed to custody. And any further bail will not be allowed. Furthermore, if you commit any criminal act before the date set, the same applies. Now, do you have any questions?
Are you setting any financial recognizance?
No, I don't think that's necessary.
About my watch?
Stanley, you can sort that out.
Right, Gav.
Superintendent, I would like to thank you for the way you've treated me. I do appreciate it.
You got no special treatment, sir. You just went by the book. Good night. Good morning.
Oh, I really do. I really do feel rough, Stoney. Thanks for bringing me home. Miss Left.
Ah. Would you make a driver, Gov?
He's not my cup of tea, why?
I don't know. There's something too, he's too precise.
He's an accountant. Right at the pub, 10 second left. Mister, what's bothering you?
My gut reaction. My first murder squad, old family wiped out. We had it down as a suicide pact. Turned out to be the son. Cold bastard. Driver reminds me of him. Also, he's concerned for his watch.
Oh, no way. He said the watch was sentimental. Although, being a Jew boy, he was probably scared someone would nick it from the station. And he's probably right. Do you know how much those gold Rolex cost?
About 10 quid. It's a Bangkok special, a Schneider copy.
Oh, God. The way I'm feeling, you might have to work on the squad with Mr. Daz.
Glad we left the motor outside the estate. It wouldn't rate the chances of finding it with all four wheels when we came out. Got a bag, Julian.
I've given up. Barry, if I were you, instead of worrying about your paddock symbol, I'd worry about the expensive camels swinging around your neck.
Here we are. This is Glaston House.
Excuse me. Do you know which number Mrs. Fairwater lives at?
Fifth floor, second door on the left. The lift's broken down.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem, mate.
Nearly there. Isn't it the estate where all the grunt are sent?
Yeah.
Here's the flat.
Come, who was?
I'm looking for Mrs. Fairwater.
I love her, open the door, Grimma.
You all right, Barry?
I am.
But a pit bull bit me camera off.
Poor, it's nasty.
Probably me. Toe-rags set us up. And the lift was working.
Sit down, sir. And you, sir.
Thank you. first of all, I'd like to offer you our deepest condolences for your tragic loss.
Thank you. Most civil of you to call, sir.
Oh, please. I'm Julian, and this gentleman is my photographer, Barry.
Young girl, fag, how do you love? I'm dying for a fag.
Barry?
Me no smoke, sir. But I'm thinking, how inhospitable of me. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Dying for one, love.
You will put the pot on.
Oh, bollock brain. Haven't you got the slightest feeling?
What?
I'm dying for a cup of tea. I'm dying for a fag.
I don't. Oh, shit.
Don't just sit there. There's a photo album on the sideboard. Nickel.
Can I give you a hand, Mrs. Fairwater?
Thank you. You can fetch these biscuits for you and your friend.
I feel a lot of the newspapers have been very unfair about your late son. I felt we should put his side of the story.
Them damn lies them print about Cathy. Excuse me for blasting him, sir, but it make me blood boil. He was a good boy. He was the baby. Me got 7 other children and not one ever been in no bother with the law.
Cathy? I thought his name was Carlton.
A nickname.
Did he work?
He did have a steady job in a warehouse. He not take dough like some of the other boys on the estate. All some of them do is steal to get money for drugs.
He didn't take drugs?
Him father would beat him if him ever smoke crack or stick them needles in him arm.
Not even hash?
A little ganja, but me never approve.
About his friends, the ones the police say ran away...
The police did show me some funny pictures, but I don't recognize none of them.
A lot of West Indian lads get picked on by the police around here. Did Carlton?
Yes, him was in a little trouble with the police. Him liked fast cars. And sometimes...
He went for a ride in other people?
Yes, sir.
Carlton was in trouble once for something other than stealing cars, wasn't he, Mrs. Fairwater?
Yes, sir. But it wasn't him, Father.
Julian. Barry, now. They charged him with GBH, didn't they? What do you say to people who say Carlton got what he deserved?
I say that God knows the truth. You better go now. Me know what lies you going to write in your paper.
Barry, what are you so pissed off about?
Nothing.
Did you get the picture?
Oh, yeah. Nice selling short for Black Mugger to back up the prejudiced tiny minds of our readers. Surprised you didn't ask the old lady to go topless for a photo. You know what really pisses me off? You already knew the geezer had a record, so why put the old girl through that shit?
Because, bollock brain, I got his record from a copper, unofficially. So, she had to confirm it.
What?
Listen, if you suddenly got religion and don't want to earn 20 grand a year, hand in your notice and stop giving me GBH of the earos. By the way, your car's been clamped.
Hey, I like the watch, man.
Ah, and the gold chain, very smooth.
Pete, leave me alone. Stop. You're choking me. Let's go. Cut him, man, cut him.
No.
As a result of this incident, which happened on the night of the 21st of August at approximately 10 p.m. on a Piccadilly Line tube train at Mount View Station, a man died. With me is the officer in charge of this case, Superintendent Charles Reeves. Superintendent, how can the public help you with this crime?
Good evening, Donald. Well, there's 3 points we need help with. Number one, did anyone see the 3 youths in these photo fits getting on an eastbound Piccadilly tube train before 10 p.m.? We had any result from the ticket collectors?
No, it's like the IC3's never existed.
Morning, Mr. Reeves. How's the driver investigation going?
Good. Yeah, Mr. Conway, this is D.S. Stone.
Sergeant.
Was this afternoon suspended from the House of Commons.
Turn the sound up, Ethnic.
Amid uproar, Grantley clashed with the Home Secretary over the death of Carlton Fairwater, who died after an incident on a tube train. He had earlier claimed that 2 witnesses the police were looking for did not, in fact, exist. He then went on...
The Home Secretary cannot go into more detail. Maybe that is because the whole case is being brought under the racist police carpet, and I believe you are also being a racist.
After the MP refused to withdraw his remarks, he was suspended.
Racist in this station?
Afternoon, gentlemen.
I hate piss-taking jocks.
He's got a point, though.
Come in.
This is Assistant Commissioner Hinckley and
John Rowe, CBP's office.
Morning.
Morning.
Hello, sir.
What's the situation, Charlie?
Well, we've got some interesting leads coming
out. Don't take the piss, Superintendent. Have you got anything?
No, sir. Superintendent, it seems to me that without the two non-appearing witnesses, we haven't got a case either way.
Yes, sir.
Driver's bail comes up for renewal next week. Am I correct?
Tuesday.
The forensic report, page 5, paragraph 7b, states that although the stab wound that killed Fairwater is consistent with him falling on his own knife, the angle of entry of the blade leaves a certain amount of doubt. Now, the inquest coming up next Friday, we're up Shit Creek.
We're concerned that Fairwater's counsel, who incidentally is being paid for out of a fighting fund set up by the MP Grantley, we'll be asking some very embarrassing questions in regard to that particular paragraph. Unfortunately, the case is becoming something of a cause célèbre. We have the black community suggesting that Fairwater is the innocent victim of a racist, while the tabloids are turning this chap Driver into a hero who killed a mugger in self-defense. And Grantley is suggesting that the two missing witnesses do not exist.
And we're picky in the middle. We need to find the two IC3s. In my opinion, the only reason they haven't come in is because Driver's story is true. And they don't want to be up on an attempted robbery charge.
Can I interject, sir?
Yeah, go on.
It all boils down to one thing. Overtime.
Ted, don't give me that old chestnut.
Do you know how many man-hours I've put into the...
Ted, no.
I've had men checking every station on the Piccadilly line. Not one sighting. Charlie went on crime beat. Not one call from the public. And as for Driver, there's no motive.
I agree. Even if we make a wild assumption that a white... A middle-aged man is carrying a flick knife.
People do carry weapons for protection.
There's no forensic evidence to support that.
Wasn't an idea, it's a
just
fact.
A bloody wild card.
A few minutes ago, the inquest into the death of 18-year-old Carlton Fairwater ended with the jury bringing in an open verdict. Relatives and friends of the dead youth were involved in scuffles with the police. They claimed that there had been a police cover-up. The detective leading the investigation, Superintendent Charles Reeve, had earlier collapsed while giving evidence. Mr. Norman Driver told the court that Fairwater and two other youths were attempting to rob him when Fairwater fell on his own knife during the struggle. Mr. Driver denied that he was a racist, but he admitted that there were only two Asian clerks out of his 60 staff. The Home Office pathologist agreed with the Fairwater barrister that although his forensic evidence showed almost conclusively that Fairwater had fallen on his own knife, it wasn't impossible for him to have been stabbed by Mr. Driver, although none of the tests the professor had carried out suggested that the knife that caused the fatal blow had ever left Fairwater's own hand. As Mr. Driver left the coroner's court, he refused to speak to reporters. His solicitor, Mr. Ashley Lee, then read out a statement.
Mr. Driver is glad that at last he has had a chance to give his side of the story to the public. Mr. Driver has asked me to say that although people are calling him a hero, he feels he is just an ordinary commuter who protected himself. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Lee, just one more question.
No more comments.
Mind if I join you, Sergeant Stone?
No, sir.
Charles. I spoke to Charlie's wife yesterday. It's a perforated ulcer. He'll be off for 3 months. I hear Driver's story has been bought by a Sunday paper. The rumour is he got 50 grand.
I was wondering, sir.
That was my first thought. Make you up to act in DI. I can't. This case has turned into an effing nightmare. You wouldn't believe the flack I'm taking from the yard. And the DPP's office is getting shat on from the Home Office. You're well out of it.
With due respect, sir...
Look, nobody's going to get any medals on this one. Whatever the result is, it's going to be the wrong one. If we find this Fairwater and his mates with Robin Driver, then the whole Coombe population cried fiddle. If by some miracle we stick Driver up on a murder charge, the press say, what's this country coming to when we do this to a hero? I'm putting Conway in charge.
Sir.
I don't like him, and he's a teetotaler.
I heard.
Hey, here's something to cheer you up. South Africa, right? Dustbin through loaded a truck. It's windy. All the shit is flying all over the street. The white foreman says to the coon, "Hey, boy, get up on top of the truck and stop the cardboard falling off." So the coon climbs up and spread eagles himself on top of the rubbish. The lorry drives off and it stops at traffic lights in a rich white area. Some old lady looks over her balcony and calls to her husband, "Hey, look, Breck! Somebody's thrown away a perfectly good coon." Hey, can't wait. Come over and join us. The superintendent, this is Sergeant Stone, known as Stoney. He doesn't have a sense of humor.
We've met.
I'm off.
I do not believe that man.
You heard the joke.
Everybody in the canteen heard it. Sergeant, I want to make my position on the driver case absolutely clear, so there's no misunderstanding between you and me. Tunler and a lot of other people want a result. So do I, but there's a difference. I want the right result. You understand?
Yeah. What result is that, sir?
The correct one. I don't care who it upsets or compromises who it drops in it, and that includes Superintendent Tunler. You want another cup of tea?
I'll sort it out. Ethnic, two teas.
What's wrong, Sarge? Your legs dropped off? Okay.
He's a good lad, Ethnic. You want to go through the Fairwater file after lunch?
I've read the file.
What do you reckon, sir?
I think it's a disgrace.
In what way, sir?
In every way. The whole investigation is a joke.
Sir, everything was done by the book.
The book's more than just words, commas, and full stops. What I don't see is any question marks, like, where's the...
Chief Scott.
Cheers, Ethnic.
Constable Ethnic. An unusual name.
It's York, sir.
Well, in that case, York, I don't ever want to hear anyone in this station calling you Ethnic. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Constable York, incident room in 10 minutes.
Sir.
Sir.
Sir, about the canteen. It's a bit unfair to have a go at me in public. PC York.
Doesn't mind. Maybe he doesn't. That's not the point. The point is, when those same guys, including you, get out in the street because York doesn't mind, the next IC3... Oh, God, I hate these codes we give people. The next black guy you stop gets called Ethnic or Coon, then the barriers go up and we've lost another witness or another helpful citizen. Come in!
You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes, sit down. And stop giving me the dead eye. I'm seconding you on the Fairwater case. You'll be temporarily made up to D.C., okay?
Well, yeah. I mean, thank you. Sir? Am I on this case because I'm black?
This station seems to be full of wee sensitive flowers. It seems to me it's all right to sit in the canteen and tell racist jokes and call people ethnic, but I seem to have offended everybody here by calling a spade a spade. I don't see that. Okay. You're in because your inspector tells me you're one of the brightest young policemen in this nick, and yes, because you're black. This station doesn't exactly have the local black community's, how shall I put it, full confidence. In fact, they see us as the enemy. Now, I've already explained to Sergeant Stone that everyone from Tunler upwards wants a pair of balls to hang on his wall. Well, so do I. But I want the right pair. I'm not looking to win any personality contests, and I'm not a bundle of fun to work with. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and since I lost my wife, my only pleasure is nicking people. The right people. Okay, Stoney, tell me how you see the two characters.
Fairwater? 5 pages of previous.
Yes, I've read all that. Give me a copper's view. A wee pen picture.
Well, it's unusual for a guy to suddenly change his M.O. There's nothing in his previous about him being involved in robbery, let alone being tooled up. And whenever he got nicked, he was good as gold.
Sir? No.
Go on, even if it's hearsay.
The word from the lads on his estate is that he was a softie. He'd always walk away from trouble, even though he was a big lad.
Did you log this information?
Yes, sir, I did. The other thing the lads say is that he was very quiet, but they all liked him. He was a genius with motors. He never had one because he'd been banned so often. The last time, his license was taken away for 5 years.
Not making excuses, sir. Mr. Reeves never mentioned or filed any of this.
Okay. Give me a picture of the driver.
There's something not quite cold fish, remote and
Precise. I'll give you an example.
What the tube? The door for closing. But you could have pulled the communication handle. Button. Button?
But they have buttons these days, Garth, not handles.
Yeah, you don't pick it up from the transcript.
No. And there was something else. He kept going on about his watch. He said it was a sentimental gift. It's a copy Rolex you get for 10 quid in Bangkok.
Is this taking us somewhere?
I'm not sure. In the coroner's court, he was very expensively dressed. Savile Row suit, Gucci shoes.
So he got dressed up for his court appearance, as everyone does. Point?
The night of Fairwater's death, he was wearing a brand new suit and shoes, but cheap high street brands. One other thing. In court, I'd swear he was wearing a real Rolex.
Perhaps he's just mean.
Could be. Superintendent Reeves reckoned he was a Jew. You know what they're like with money.
I thought you English thought all Scots were tight, not just us Jews.
I didn't mean...
Me? I wish I had a pound for every time somebody tells me a racist joke about Jew boys. Then when they realize I'm one myself, they always say, oh, you're different. You tell me, Sergeant Stone, how am I different? Is PC a York here different from the lads on the street you call nigger or coon? Tell me how we are different. Is it because we're policemen like you?
I'm not a racist, sir. When it comes to the law, I don't give a shit about a man or woman's colour or their religion. Only whether they broke the law. My mother's life, I've never fitted anyone up, black or white. All right, maybe I do use derogatory terms. We all do.
I don't. Correct me if I'm wrong. But what you're saying is you can call somebody nigger, party, or Jew boy, but that's all right. Because you treat them like any white middle-class Protestant, and you don't fit them up.
I didn't mean that. Okay, it's wrong using those words, even in conversation. It's like a bad habit. But everyone in the force does it. And I know about the directive from the yard. All I can say is I'm sorry, sir. If you feel you can't work with me or you want to put me on report to the yard, I understand.
Sir, Stoney's straight. And he's not a racist. I should know there's plenty of them at this nick.
What's your first name, son?
Andy, sir.
Right, Andy. And you, Stoney. One question. Do you want to work with me?
Yes, sir.
Andy, first job is to trace Driver's ex-wife. I think we should get to know our Mr. Driver, and who better to give us a true picture than an ex-wife. Sony, your first job is very important. Three T's.
Right, sir.
And you can have a wee injection of nicotine now, can't you?
I'm gasping for one.
Nice lady, our Mrs. Driver.
Hmm.
I think she fancied you.
Oh, get away. Stoney, you know what I'm thinking?
How Super Reeves and I cocked up on Driver.
Yeah, that as well. Now, get on to Andy. I want him to check all charge sheets for Hackney Nick, April to May 87.
Yes. Driver's mum gets her purse snatched by three IC3s. Mm-hmm. She dies of a heart attack 3 weeks later.
But of course... Driver doesn't believe it's hereditary, and when the magistrates put them on probation, Driver starts a vendetta. He starts looking for them.
And where does he look? The underground. Alpha 5 to control. Over.
Control to Alpha 5. Receiving.
Can you patch me through to Andy York?
Sorry, Alpha 5. We've got a bomb alert. We're just evacuating the station. I'll get him to call ASAP.
You still here, Andy?
They shut the computer down because of the bomb alert. Superintendent Turner left his briefcase by the front door. He wasn't happy when the bomb squad blew it up.
Oh, dear. Any luck, Andy?
No, Gov. Sir?
No. His wife gave us a very different Mr. Driver. To sum up, what we've got here is a vindictive, calculating wee man with an eye to the smallest details. A racist with a grudge against black people, particularly with West Indian origins.
Who normally wouldn't dream of using the tube with the plebs.
That changes things. It's coming up now. 1st of May, 87. Hackney Nick. No Fairwater. Coleridge, Monkton, and Jones. Charged with robbing a Mrs. Yetta Dravinsky. Sorry.
Okay, check the names on our known files. Now, you two fancy a bit of overtime?
Okay by me, sir?
I'm on, sir. Coleridge. Right lot of previous, including robbery. Jones, nothing apart from some parking tickets. Monkton, heavy. GBH, armed robbery. No, he was in Brixton on remand the night Fairwater got killed.
Right. You and me, son, are going visiting a certain Mr. Coleridge. Sony, you recheck some of the local pubs.
Oh, the ex-missus said driver hated the theatre. But
so what was he doing on the tube at 10 p.m.? Too early for an evening show.
And hours late if he'd been to a matinee. What got Andy so excited last night?
Coleridge called him a coconut.
Oh.
You had any luck?
Wall of silence. You drew a blank on the driver connection.
Coleridge had a motor accident last year. He can only walk with crutches, but we nicked him for receiving.
Morning, Andy.
Morning. Sorry to disturb your breakfast, sir, but I think I found something interesting.
Sit down. Mm. Want a cup of Rosy Lee?
I see the sergeant's been teaching you the local dialect, sir. I was going through the computer files again. There was one interview. Where is it? Mr. Cuthbert Norville. He was on duty at Edmonton Tube Station the night of the death.
Yeah.
Now, his description of the three IC3s who got on at the station approximately 1 hour before Fairwater got died. Well, it didn't come vaguely near driver's description of the two who legged it, but it was pretty close to Fairwater's photo fit. Well, I reckon that...
Look, I must have read the report 100 times. The point being that these three lads were getting on the tube at a station where we were looking for them to be getting off. The station's at the wrong end of driver's journey, and he didn't mention one of the lads carrying a huge ghetto blaster, did he?
No, Gov. I'll get back to the computer.
No, hang on. Let's hear your theory.
Well, driver gives us a very detailed ID on the two IC3s, right? Yet nobody comes up with anything. Not even the usual nutters who call the hotline. Now, a lot of people have been saying that these two IC3s don't exist except in driver's mind, right?
Yes, certainly in my mind.
I'll go along with that. Okay, so?
What if the two lads do exist, but driver's deliberately given us the wrong ID?
I'm listening, but why?
I'm not sure. Maybe he doesn't want the two lads nicked for some reason.
Let me get this straight. Your theory is...
Part of driver's story is true.
Well, let's assume they were attempting to mug driver, and he was ready. He kills Fairwater and the other two legged. Maybe they're naughty boys who we know. Okay, Andy, let's go and see your Mr.
Norville. He's on the late shift. I phoned the tube station before.
That's confidence for you, Stoney.
Yeah, Cooper. Why are you hovering around like a spare plunker at an orgy?
The Chief Super would like an urgent word with you and Superintendent Conway.
So the picture we've now got of driver is very different.
You say we've got motive. I say bollocks. It's hypothesis. We've got nothing more than we had before you took over the case. Not one piece of evidence that would stand up in court. Driver's been turned into an effing folk hero. I reckon he's got more chance of winning a medal than being tried. And the DPP agrees with me.
Are you suggesting we drop the case, sir?
No, don't be a duck. No, I want a result. I want the two coons found. There's a program on telly tonight. One of those left-wing documentaries. They're going to accuse us of a cover-up. The program's frontman did an interview with me last night. Junked up little university yid. Can you believe it? I found out that driver's a yid as well. That here's me bending over backwards to get him released.
Very noble of you, sir.
Friggin' right. And there's one of his own trying to drop him in it. These Jew boys are all the same. Little wanker. Practically accused me of running a racist station.
Sir, I really think...
It's all right, Stoney. Could you excuse us a moment?
I'll be in the office.
I know what you're going to say.
Really, sir?
You're having problems with Stoney. He objects to working with PC Coon. Am I right?
Not exactly, sir. Do I take it that your attitude is that all of us should stick together like masons?
This should do, yes. Well, to a degree... What's your point?
My point is, sir, if everybody had your attitude, we couldn't operate. It means you couldn't nick a fellow mason.
Who told you that
it's a funny handshake. It means P.T. York couldn't arrest a fellow black like he did last night, and it means I shouldn't be investigating Driver because he's Jewish. Like me. That reporter was right. Normally, racism starts with the troops and fades out at higher levels. At this nick, it's the other way around. Anything else, sir?
Listen, Conway. If it's an apology you want, fine. Maybe I was a little insensitive, but
you believe in calling a spade, sir. I saw this story in the Mail yesterday about your suspect briefcase.
Oh, did you? If there's one thing I hate, it's a grass. I'll have Cooper, and like him, you'll go nowhere in this force. I'll make sure you go on a roundabout, all the shit jobs, snakes and ladders, sideways promotion. The one direction you'll never go is up. That's all, Superintendent.
Mr. Norville?
That is right.
I'm Detective Superintendent Conway, and this is Detective Constable York.
I already speak to your colleagues, them. Them very, very disrespectful. I try to be a good citizen, help the police. But them so rude to me, I lost all my inclination to help.
If any of my colleagues were rude, I'd like to apologize personally.
That's very nice of you, sir.
Mr. Norville, we feel your information could be very important. What do you remember about the three boys you saw on the night of August the 21st?
It was just after 9 p.m. when these three boys came into the picket hall. They were acting very foolish, you know, shouting and using profane language. I tell the boys then to behave or I will call the police. Then tell me to. I won't repeat what them say. Then them go to the ticket machine, and I notice that they only buy one ticket, the big boy, that is. Then the other two boys, them jump the barrier.
Can you describe the boys to me?
The big one, maybe 6'2" or 6'3", and big like a heavyweight boxer.
Show him the wee photo, Andy.
Is this the lad?
It look like him. But him having a baseball cap, I couldn't positively identify him.
Do you remember what he was wearing?
He was wearing a dark blue tracksuit, that shiny material, and gym shoes. With them silly big tongue, all them kids now wearing.
And the other two?
The older one, he was wearing a blue jacket, them shiny jackets, and jeans with them same gym shoes. The other one in wearing on a pair of them long shorts I used to wear in the army days.
Show Mr. Norville the photo fit.
Are these the two lads?
Them boys not even a little bit like these pictures. The older one in not pure.
What blood did he have?
Him granddaddy is probably Chinese. The boy in light skin.
And what about the other one?
In face long. Not like this picture. And in wear earring.
Were any of the lads carrying a ghetto blaster? Music box?
No.
You've no idea which direction they went. I mean on the train.
Them went on the west line toward Tong. I ran to the escalator. I see them.
You ever seen them since?
Oh, yes. I seen them often.
Did you tell the other police officers?
No, sir.
Why not?
Them never ask. As soon as I say the little drawing not look like the boys I see, them went. Not even a thank you or good evening. Them very, very disrespectful.
How often have you seen them since?
Oh, them stopped coming for a little while after the boy was killed. But them start to return. Them different now. One of them have a beard, and the other one him no longer have an earring. Them here sometimes Thursday, sometimes Friday.
Thank you very much, Mr. Norville. You've been a great help to us.
Thank you, sir. It's nice having a conversation with a real English gentleman.
Mr. Conway, Scottish.
Young man, you know what I am saying and what my meaning is, so don't you be disrespectful to me. And one more thing. It is very pleasurable for me to see one of my own kind in the police force. People should have a good impression of young black men. Them should have dignity.
not thinking we all mugging and breaking the law. I'm very proud of you, son.
Thank you, Mr. Norville.
That's all right.
Stoney, why don't you get out of the car and have a fag?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to give up. I'm rationing yourself to coffee breaks.
That looks like our lads coming out the off-license.
Right. Andy, Tony, stand by. Two IC3 suspects approaching station. Wait till Mr. Norville confirms their ID. Over.
Got that, Gav. In position, Sarge.
Oh, shit, they've turned round. Do you reckon they clocked us?
No, they've gone back in the shop, probably forgotten their matches.
Sir, you heard from Mrs. Driver?
As a matter of fact, she did ring me about some...
They're out of the shop. And?
I'm going to see her on Saturday night. Ask her a few questions over dinner. Now, come on, Stoney.
Right.
That's the boys, then. They've got on in blue jackets. Then I said to her, I ain't got no rubbers on me.
She'll lend me a quid, Ruth.
Ah, you've never got any change. Yeah. So she said no leg over, right?
Hi, man.
Easy.
Hi.
I'm Detective Constable York. This is PC Cooper. I'm arresting you both in connection with the attempted robbery of Mr. Norman Driver on August the 21st at Mount View Tube Station. You have the right to remain silent.
Piss off, man. Take man off my arm. What the shit are you talking about?
I don't want any trouble, lads. Just keep calm.
Look, man, you got it wrong.
Don't say nothing, Tris.
Look, I told you, take your hand off me. Right, you wankers.
That's another charge, Sunshine. Assaulting a police officer. Get those cuffs on him, Andy.
Anything, Stoney?
3 hours of long silences. Apart from their names and saying they went to a club up west that night, nothing.
They're asking for the brief?
Strange, they haven't.
Huh?
They know their way around the system. At least Daniel does. He's a regular Billy the Kid.
Except he gets caught a lot. It's his MO. Robbery with violence, malicious wounding, he works tubes and subways.
Mm.
The other one's different. A wee bit of dealing hash and passing forged checks.
Mm.
Did they say how they got home from the club that night?
Yeah, black cab.
No chance of verifying that story. Who's in there now?
Why? Andy's babysitting.
We could bring Driver in for an ID parade, but we both know he won't ID them. Not if they've got his number.
No.
And if these two keep denying everything, end of case.
Maybe Andy can work a miracle. If anyone's going to talk, it's White. Oh, this is all we need.
I hear you caught our muggers. Although I hear they're not too talkative.
Mm-hmm.
The press seem to have found out about the arrests. Bit of pressure, lads. Good luck.
Good luck. That turd. Can I buy you a cup of poison?
Indeed you can.
Any chance of a fag?
I don't smoke. I'll ask the Sarge when he comes back.
Hey, man. Is that tape really switched off?
Yeah.
I've got a question for you.
Oh, yeah?
How can you do this job, man? Don't you feel really ashamed being black? Especially in this nick.
Let me ask you something, man. How can you sit there and let this guy Driver walk away free after killing the brother? And you're a witness. Only you're too shit scared to admit it.
I didn't see nothing.
So you're going to let him walk? And you, tosser, have got the nerve to put this guilt shit on me? Yeah, there's prejudice in this, Nick. But the two guys on this case are diamonds. They're working their balls off to get a result, and they've probably screwed up their jobs to do it right.
It breaks my heart.
You sit there with that stupid little grin on your face, asking me how I can do this job. You're right. I am ashamed. Trying to do something for shit like you!
Outside, Andy. Now! Sonny, stay with Mr. White.
Let me get some.
Did you hit him?
I lost my rag, sir. I didn't hit him. I was going to. I just pushed him back into his chair and he toppled over. I know.
That's right. You've blown it. If he confirms that you assaulted him, he's gone. And so is Driver. Andy, you are nearly a bloody good copper. If you can't take it, you're better out of the force, son.
The funny thing is, I can take racial abuse from anyone except my own. I just laugh. Not the optical white guys that pop at me, but...
He's a suspect, Andy. Remember what Mr. Norville told you. Dignity. Sonny?
Andy's worked it, Gov. White says he fell off his chair. Andy wants to talk.
What I said still applies. You're just lucky. We all are.
I know that, sir.
Would you rather I then went back to the office?
Oh, come on!
This is a continuation of an interview with Tristan Donald White, time 23:07. Mr. White has waived his rights to have a solicitor present. Now tell us in your own words, what happened?
Yeah, me and Carlton...
You're referring to Carlton Fairwater?
Yeah, me, Carlton and Rufus Daniel have been to King's Cross. We got on a tube to go home. The carriage was empty apart from this one guy, Driver. I didn't know his name then. Ruth and me were larking around, dancing, jumping on seats. We're a bit, you know, stoned.
What about Carlton?
Carlton was sitting there reading some Hot Rod magazine. Anyway, this Driver was staring at us, so Ruth asked him what he was staring at. He just sort of sneered. Then he starts calling us ignorant coons and we should go back to the jungle, stuff like that. We went over to him. Carlton was standing in front of him. He asked the guy why I was calling him names. Me and Ruth were sitting each side of Driver, blowing smoke in his face. Then he suddenly spits it in Carlton's face. Well, Carlton's really angry, right? We don't know what to do. He just starts to wipe the gob off his face. The train lurches then, and Carlton falls on the bloke. But he doesn't get up. He sort of just lay there gurgling, and there's like foam coming out of his mouth and blood. And Carlton says something like, "The man killed me."
Was it Carlton's knife?
No, man. It was clean. Anyway, Carlton was holding onto the strap with one hand, and he wiped the gob off with the other.
Do you see a knife in Driver's hand?
Yeah. Driver, he was sitting with his hands in his pocket when he spit at Carlton. I'm looking at him. He pulled out a switchblade.
Did anyone say anything after Carlton was stabbed?
Yeah. Driver told me and Ruth to disappear. He said he won't say we're trying to mug him. It was like nothing happened. It was so cool.
So you just pissed off and left your friend dying. You...
Go and have a cup of tea, Andy. Why didn't you come forward? You must have read in the papers that we wanted to see you.
But this, Nick? You must be joking, man. I mean, I wanted to, but Ruth said with his record, and us being black, and his driver being white, you'd probably charge us with murder. Look, man, the newspapers turned this guy into a hero. On my mother's life, he weren't robbing this guy. I know Ruth used to do mugging, but he stopped. He started working with me.
He went straight, you mean?
Well, sort of. You know what I mean?
At this moment, I'm turning the tape off for a refreshment break. Look, Mr. White, this is a murder inquiry. I'm not going to get heavy about a wee bit of hash, okay? So cooperate as you've been doing, and there'll be no problems. Now, I take it you went to King's Cross to score. After the killing, did you go back to King's Cross and get a black cab home?
Yeah, that's right. We're dealing, but only shit. I don't take or deal nothing else. I'm in mother's life. I thought it was safer to go to King's Cross after it happened because no one would notice us.
Is Carlton involved in dealing?
No, man. Carl wasn't interested in nothing that didn't have four wheels. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he smoked a little weed, that's all. What's going to happen now?
I'm going to talk to Rufus. If he cooperates, I'm going to put you two in an ID parade and get Driver in.
Bollocks! Rufus was right, man. He said you wankers would stitch us up.
Don't be a prick. You read the newspapers. You saw the photo, Fitz. If he wanted you two caught, why give us a phony description?
He won't know. You two have talked. He won't want to recognize you. Understand?
Yeah, right.
Continuation of interview with Mr. White. Tristan, before the night of the 21st of August, had you ever seen or spoken to Mr. Driver?
Yeah, me and Ruth had seen him. He was on the tube with us a couple of times before. Always staring at us. And not just us, any black guys who got on. I can't explain it exactly, but it was like he was challenging us, you know? I suppose that's why we were a bit over the top that night. See, before, the train has always been crowded. We couldn't do nothing. There's always someone who wants to have a go or call the bill. That night, we sort of challenged him back, you know? You know what I mean?
Tristan, did any of you attempt to steal a gold chain from Driver's neck?
No! On my mother's life! None of us touched him! Anyway, he had a tie on. I never saw no chain.
Where have you carried a ghetto blaster?
No, why?
I'll now finish my questioning of Mr. White.
Oh, one more thing. Can you tell that black copper of yours is all right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Andy, Daniel has just coughed. He confirms every detail of White's story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Stoney, get Driver on the phone. I want him down here for the ID. No, wait a minute. I tell you what, come on, you two. Let's go and collect Mr. Driver. I want a wee picture of him on his own top.
What a gas.
Recession?
What recession?
Remember, we don't want any aggro with Driver. On the other hand, Andy, you might shake him up subtly.
This is Detective Constable York, and I believe you know Detective Sergeant Stone.
Yes, I do. Coffee, it's on.
Ah, please.
Make yourself at home.
Do you reckon all these photos are his mum?
It's like a mausoleum.
Book here on that guy who shot the three black lads on a New York subway.
Interesting book. Have been asked to write one.
Of course not till all this is over.
Of course. You'll be pleased to know we've arrested two lads that we suspect were with Carlton Fairwater.
Oh, good. Did they say anything?
Yeah, let me take the coffee. You nearly dropped it. Now, I can't go into any details, but what I will say is that it is vital for the case that you identify them. I don't think that should be any problem for you.
No, I'm sure I'll be able to identify them.
Detective Stone was very impressed with your watch, Mr. Driver. May I take a look?
It's just a Rolex.
Just a Rolex? Wise. Beautiful. Solid gold?
Sorry. Yes, it is. Yes.
Is this your mother's photo?
Don't touch that! Get your filthy hand!
I'm sorry, Constable. It's just that the silver frame, you know, shows every mark. Oh, no.
Sit down, Mr. Driver. You all right?
Indigestion. Can you pass me those pills, please?
Why don't you and Andy wait in the car, Stoney?
Come on, Andy.
I understand how you feel, Mr. Driver.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I'm very close to my mother.
My mother was... died some time ago.
I'm sorry. Well, you'd better go, Norman.
Did your suspect say anything?
Well, put it this way, we're very close. Just a wee point, Norman. Mm. What was the play you saw the night of
Henry V, the RSC?
Henry V, great play.
Yeah.
I went to the matinee. I couldn't get a ticket for the evening show.
Oh, you still can't. I had to go to the matinee. Then I had a meal.
Ah, oh, say no more. You know, I know you much better now, Norman.
First line-up, please, sir.
You take Mr. Driver along. I'll join you in a minute.
This way, Mr. Driver.
Thank you.
Little job for you, Andy. Buzz up to Driver's office. Have a look at his work diary for the afternoon of the 21st of August.
What am I looking for, sir?
Appointments or not appointments? That is the question, Andy.
Got you, sir. I go to bury Driver, not to raise him.
Bill couldn't have put it better himself. Oh, and ask his secretary what his pills are for.
Yes, sir.
Any luck, Mr. Driver?
Yes, I recognize one of them in the first batch.
All right, gentlemen. Teamed up. Looking straight ahead. Anyone you recognize, Mr. Driver?
Number 4 looks familiar. Can I see a profile?
Gentlemen, turn to the right, please. Number 6 to your right. I don't believe it. The other way, you Wally. Thank you.
Well?
I'm positive, number 4.
I doubt it. He's a police officer.
What about the other positive ID?
Melvin from the wine bar. Thank you, gentlemen. You can go.
I'm terribly sorry. I really thought I recognised
him. Oh, that's all right. You tried. I don't think we need to detain you any longer. Thank you.
I suppose this makes things rather difficult for you.
In what way, Norman?
Pressure from the newspaper?
Not at all. In a funny way, this wraps the case up rather nicely.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
That man is a real slime bag. Right, what have we got? Andy, do you come bearing gifts?
His desk diary confirms his story.
But
the office computer where they log hours worked for the charges shows he was with a client until 5:30, and I've confirmed it with a Mr. Burns.
How'd you get into that computer without a search warrant?
Sonia, his secretary.
Ah.
And those pills are for his heart condition.
Oh,
can I have tonight off, sir? I've got a hot date.
You can, and I'll treat you. Well, better still, put it on your exes.
Right. We've now got a motive, and we've got two witnesses who will probably get crucified on the stand because of their previous.
Now, well, we haven't got any hard evidence. Although we do know now that Driver didn't go to the theater. We've got Driver's number, but Fairwater stole just a wee out-of-focus photo.
What about his mum?
You sure I can't fix you a little something?
No, thanks. Mrs. Fairwater, we have some new evidence that we think may result in an arrest. Now, I want to ask you some questions that may be painful.
Sir, can you all rest in peace? Please, no more questions. Me talk and me talk to them reporters, and before that the police. Him dead. Whatever happened now, him still dead. You understand me, sir?
I do understand. One question, please.
If me can help you, me will.
Carlton was in trouble with the police when he was younger. He was charged with GBH, grievous bodily harm. What exactly happened?
I don't want to talk about it.
Ma, these policemen only tried to help Carlton. Just tell them. I'll make you a nice cup of tea.
I will tell these gentlemen. Don't you make that tea too strong now, you hear me?
Right, Ma.
Jackie was 12 years old. He was a very naughty boy. He was trying to steal a car when the car owner and his friend came along. Now, me believe in punishment when the child naughty. Me and my husband whip Jackie many times.
Whip a child?
She doesn't mean whip, Gov. She means spank, as in bum.
You think me whip my child?
No. Go on.
These men, they beat Jackie very seriously. And when him fall on the ground, them start kick him. Him think them going kill him, so him find a brick on the floor and throw it. It hit the man. The police them come. There was a witness who tell the police what they see. The policeman arrest the man who beat him and call an ambulance for Jackie. Him was so badly hurt. His spleen did have to come out and his kidneys damaged bad. Jackie never feel right after that. Later the police them charge Jackie.
See that, Ma.
Kaki, what does he mean?
Jackie, not Kaki. It means left-handed golf.
Cack-handed, sir.
What's wrong? Look, I'm sorry.
Mrs. Fairwater, was Carlton left-handed?
Of course it was. Why else we call him Kaki?
Did the policeman who came to see you ask whether Carlton was left-handed?
No, me not think so. No, them didn't.
Here it is, sir. P.C. Cooper took Mrs. Fairwater's statement the following day. Now, where is it? Was your son left or right-handed? Answer, Carlton was right-handed. Did you hear Mrs. Fairwater call him anything except Kaki?
No.
This Cooper is the Flash PC with a direct line to Fleet Street.
Get him in, Stoney, and see if the tame forensic guy, what's his name, Professor Morris, is around.
Right.
I tell you, Andy, lucky we had you around to translate. We were on very dodgy ground. This might give us the edge.
Sir, if you hadn't asked, I went through every statement, every report, and I still nearly missed it. Gov, PC Cooper.
So you wanted me?
You're in trouble, Cooper. Real trouble.
It's about the Fairwater investigation.
Sir? Stop smirking, Cooper. This isn't about some little tip-off to your newspaper mates. This is serious.
We can probably charge you now with perverting the course of justice.
I don't understand. This statement. Did you take it? Yes or no?
Well, I must have done. It's my signature.
Anything wrong, sir?
Only the fact that Mrs. Fairwater never said this.
She did?
Answer five. Was your son left or right-handed? Answer right-handed. That, laddie, is the wrong answer. Well?
I missed it from the list of questions I was given. So you decided to fill it in yourself?
No, sir. When I got back to the station, I realized that I'd missed the question. I came along here and told Mr. Reeves what had happened. He told me to fill it in. He said the case was virtually sorted.
He was on his own, I take it?
No. Chief Superintendent Turner was in here.
So, Mr. Turner heard what had happened?
Yes, sir. He was joking about Fairwater. He said Fairwater nicked his mate's car years ago and they taught the little sod a right lesson. So what happens now?
By the book, we arrest and charge you, but are you prepared to make a full statement?
Yes, I am.
You were thinking of chucking it in, weren't you, Cooper?
Well, yes, I was.
Stoney, get a statement.
Thank you for seeing us at such short notice, Professor Morris. I'm sure you're busy.
I am. Paperwork. On the television whenever the police visit a forensic expert. He's always in the mortuary cutting up bodies. I'm always in the office writing reports. How can I help you?
Do you remember the Fairwater death?
Well, I read the report while you were on your way over.
If I tell you Fairwater was left-handed, would you still say it was possible for him to fall on his own knife?
No, the angle would be wrong.
The driver said he grabbed his wrist. Surely you could bend the wrist back like this.
No, I see it. Look, it either hits him in the shoulder...
Even if the knife hit his chest, there's no way of getting any leverage. I mean, the point of the knife might penetrate the skin, causing a superficial wound, but it couldn't be driven 5 inches into the body. Unless, of course, the driver was standing.
No. The two witnesses both say driver was sitting. But they say the train lurched and that Fairwater fell towards driver.
I don't know.
Is there any way of proving that driver was holding the knife?
No. I mean, the only fingerprints on the knife were Fairwater's. And the only fibers we found on the knife came from his tracksuit. Of course, they could have come from the knife handle being white with the jacket.
And the knife was still lodged in his body?
Yes.
What about the chain, Professor?
We couldn't get any fingerprints from the chain.
Is there any way we can show that driver transferred the knife from his hand to Fairwater?
No, we tried a DNA test. There were nothing. And by the time I was called, rigor mortis had set in. I don't see the problem. You have witnesses who say driver had the knife.
The witnesses are exactly my problem.
What's worrying you, sir?
This bleak scenario crossed my mind. What does driver say when we charge him?
Well, he says we're wrong. Mm-hmm. He says Fairwater was ripping his chain off with his left hand, so he used his right hand to hold the knife.
What if he says, hands up, I had the knife? After my mother was killed, I got very nervous. I started carrying a knife for protection. These three guys were trying to mug me.
No, I don't see it. I think he'll try and bluff it out. As you say, our two witnesses are ripe, and a good defence barrister will pick them. The chances are at the Bailey, we'll be lucky if we get two black faces on a jury.
Sir, facts from Professor Morris.
Well?
From Professor...
Just the gory bits.
Right. According to your witnesses, Mr. Fairwater fell slightly to his right when the train lurched. I've re-examined the photos of the position of Fairwater's body after driver pushed him onto the floor. You will note from the photograph marked photo number 6...
Pass me the photos, Tony.
Photo number 6, that there is a large area of blood staining the seat that would have been to Mr. Driver's left. This, I feel, would prove that your witnesses were correct. I have also rechecked the entry point of the wound. I can categorically state that the angle of entry of the knife was slightly from the right. This being so...
I'm lost. Do you understand any of that, sir?
Well, not exactly.
Listen, Therefore, in conclusion, I feel that the only possible explanation for the angle of entry of the knife into Mr. Fairwater's chest was that Mr. Driver, holding the knife, stabbed upwards and to his right as Mr. Fairwater fell. In other words, Mr. Driver deliberately stabbed Fairwater. It was not a defensive movement. That's got to be it.
Yes, I'm going to see the DPP.
And this is the fax Professor Morris sent us. I've spoken to him since. He will be sending us his official report in the next few days. Look, I'll give you my scenario. Driver starts traveling the tube at night, hoping a black kid will try it on. That night he found one. He kills Carlton. While the tube's traveling the next two stops, he wipes his fingerprints off the knife handle using Carlton's jacket, puts his knife in Carlton's right hand, then rips his own chain off. Also, we found that Driver didn't go to the theater. He was with a client. Well, that's about it, sir.
I've been going through the papers in this case. First of all, Superintendent Conway, I feel you and Sergeant Stone here deserve congratulations.
Yes, sir.
You've done an amazing job in spite of the appalling, I nearly said incompetence of your fellow officers. I think I should use the word criminal negligence where it concerns senior officers at this station.
That's ludicrous.
Superintendent Turner, I will be reporting your conduct to your superior officer. I shall also be recommending that criminal charges should be brought against both you and Superintendent Reeves for your conduct in this case. And in connection with the assault on Fairwater.
But that was years ago.
As for the murder charge, I agree that we now have sufficient evidence to arrest Driver. Will you see to that, Mr. Conway?
Of course.
Thank you. Good evening, Chief Superintendent.
Just remember, I totally deny these...
Could I have a word, Mr. Conway?
I'll get the warrant to him. We haven't got a chance.
Well... If I were a gambling man, which I am, I wouldn't put my wages on a 100-to-1 outsider. It's the witnesses, of course. We might get lucky. I feel our best chance of a result is us doing a deal with Driver's legal advisers. We need him to plead guilty to a manslaughter charge. But for that, he has also to plead guilty to carrying an offensive weapon. Do you think he'll go that route?
I think Driver might change his story, but Stoney thinks he'll block it out.
Here's his brief.
Ashley Lee.
Yes. Suggestion. Speak to Lee. Tell him you want him to bring in his client for some more questions. That gives him and Driver a chance to spin the bottle. If he sticks to his original story, we go for the big one.
Mr. Driver, you've read a transcript of your original taped interview.
Yes.
Is there anything you wish to add to your statement?
Actually, there is. I didn't go to the theatre.
Oh.
I was with a lady friend between 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. We went to the Piccadilly Hotel, room 703. Her name is Leslie Frost. She's married, you see.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Superintendent, before my client answers that, could I have a private word with you?
Of course, Mr. Lee.
Have you got a deal for me?
Before I charge your client with the mother of Mr. Carlton Fairwater? Huh?
Well, let's put it another way. Have you got a deal for me?
Well, hypothetically, if my client, who has been under tremendous mental strain, suddenly remembered that he was carrying a knife to protect himself...
Hypothetically, he might get the charge dropped to manslaughter.
Uh-huh.
So let me get this straight. If I say I was carrying the knife, they charge me with manslaughter. But if not, it's murder.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, they're worried. Probably because their two witnesses are dodgy. Also, high courts have virtually all white juries.
Just supposing...
Now stop. If you tell me it was your knife, then whatever I think won't matter. Now, if you tell me it was the Schwarzer who had the knife... Then I'd say to you, I think the verdict will be not guilty. Do you now want to change your story?
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as counsel for Mr. Driver, I am not going to make the sort of summing up speech you will, I am sure, have seen in L.A. law. I am not going to rant
or thump the desk, stare deeply into your eyes, or weep.
Mr. Robin, could you enlighten me? L.A. Law?
Well, it's a popular television program about a law firm in L.A. L.A. being the abbreviation.
Yes, Los Angeles. I do read the newspaper.
Of course, madam.
Carry on, Mr. Robin.
Thank you, madam. The prosecution has asked you, ladies and gentlemen, to believe that Mr. Driver set out deliberately to kill a total stranger. The only motive they can give you is that Mr. Driver was seeking revenge because, many years ago, his mother died from a heart attack several weeks after her handbag was snatched by some youth. Members of the jury, I wonder if, like me, you are totally confused by contradictory scientific evidence given by the forensic experts about angles of entry, velocity of body movement. To my unscientific mind, it seemed like the argument about whether this glass of water on my table is half full or half empty. What I want you to concentrate your minds on is one very simple point. Do you not believe Mr. Driver, who said, I was sitting on a tube train when I was attacked by the three youths, one armed with a knife? And finally, let us ask ourselves about the relative characters of the four people involved. Firstly, the man who so tragically died, Mr. Carlton Fairwater. A large man weighing over 15 stone. A man with a long criminal record. And then we have Mr. Daniel, who claimed he didn't come forward as a witness because he was afraid that nobody would believe him. Why? Because he had such a bad criminal record. A record that includes many armed robberies on tubes. He's right. I do not believe him. And finally, we come to the third noble musketeer. A man, the police claim, who has no previous convictions for violence. He hasn't. His only blemish is being a convicted drugs dealer. And then we have Mr. Driver. A man of impeccable character. A man without any police record whatsoever. Not even a speeding fine. So who do you believe, ladies and gentlemen? Mr. Driver, the 10-stone Rambo, or the 2 fine, upstanding prosecution witnesses? I leave it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Robbins. I really feel I should watch your favorite television program if your speech was indicative of the entertainment value. Now, members of the jury, it is my duty to sum up, to hopefully cross the T's and dot the I's, and to explain certain points of law.
How long do you reckon they'll be out, sir? Tomorrow afternoon?
They'll be back in 2 hours.
Maybe three. Can I get you another beer, Andy?
Targa.
Tonic, sir?
Whiskey. Make it a double.
You don't drink, sir.
Sorry, I don't bloody swear either. I hear you're in a wee spot of bother at your new nick. Assaulting a prisoner?
Yeah, I'm suspended. They put me in an interview room with a nutter, only nobody warned me. I was fitted up. I found out my inspector's a drinking mate of Turner. You heard about Turner and Reeves?
Indeed I have. No charges against either of them and full pensions. Reeves on medical grounds.
There we go. Here. You want to laugh? Turner's got a job as a security advisor. Guess where?
The National Front.
Botswana High Commission. Here. Here comes that tosspot Lee. And Robbins, the QC.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Mr. Robbins, this is Superintendent Conway.
Congratulations, Superintendent. You built a fine case. The DPP lost it for you. May I buy you gentlemen a drink?
No, thank you, sir.
Come along, Ashley. You may buy me a bottle of champagne. I deserve it.
He's got face. Especially after Judge Meredith summing up.
He virtually ordered the jury to find Driver guilty.
10-2, not guilty. How about it, sir?
11-1.
What? You can't be serious, sir.
Robbins was right. After his final speech, the jury decided not guilty.
Ah, he's a good QC.
The way he concentrated on the Rolex swap, it made it sound like it was our major evidence. Then he virtually dismissed the forensic evidence using the old chestnut about a glass being half full or half empty, and they bought it.
I don't believe this. The forensic evidence proved Driver stabbed Fairwater, and the way the prosecution barrister laid it all out, and the judge's summing up. You're saying the jury bought that load of crap Robbins spouted?
Andy, keep it down. Didn't you watch the jury while Robbins was summing up?
Yeah. They enjoyed Robbins' patter, but surely...
It was a white, middle-class jury, apart from the lady in the big hat. The other black guy, the yuppie... Yeah. I'm not going to wait for the result. It won't be the right verdict. I'm going to see somebody's ex in Windsor.
Oh.
You two did a great job. I'm really proud of you. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Good night, sir. When did you know?
Honestly, about an hour after I met Driver.
Well, if everyone knew, why did we go through all the bollocks?
Because sometimes miracles happen, and you get the right result.
It's all right for you and Mr. Conway. But because of this case, I'm for the boot.
Really? Yeah. I passed my inspector's board. Except they say there's no position available. And Mr. Conway is being posted to Moss Side, Manchester.
Sorry. Someone came out of it all right. Rufus Daniel. He's got a job with Mountview Council. Youth advisor.
And Cooper. He's got a job in Fleet Street.
Mr. Driver, congratulations. How do you feel about the verdict?
Obviously, very relieved, but I never had any doubts whatsoever about our wonderful British justice.
Fairwater's relatives say they're going to take out a civil case against you. What do you say to them?
I understand their anger, but I'd also remind them that Mr. Fairwater would be alive today if he'd not set out to rob innocent people. Yeah. I also say the public heard the evidence. I'll let them judge me. Now, I was just doing what any other citizen would have done. I defended my right to travel on the public transport system without being robbed.
People are calling you a hero. How do you feel about that?
Sorry?
People are calling you a hero. How do you feel about that?
No, I'm no hero. What I would say to my fellow law-abiding citizens is this. You have your rights as well as the thugs. Use them.
That sounds like you're calling on people to become vigilantes.
Young man, I'm just suggesting that people defend themselves. Our old people are terrified to leave their own homes in daylight. Perhaps we should be organized to defend ourselves. My mother died because...
So you do blame your mother's death on the attack?
I simply find it hard to believe that a perfectly healthy woman should suddenly have a heart attack. Now, they say it was hereditary. I say it was not mere coincidence that she died days after she was mugged. Thank you.
So, after his long and often bitter trial, Mr. Norman Driver walks free from the Old Bailey. Sally Fields, television news, outside the Old Bailey.
The Right Result by Peter R. Simpkin featured Malcolm Rennie as Police Superintendent Samuel Conway, Brian Croucher as D.F. Stone, and Ade Sapara as P.C. Andy York. Michael Melia was Police Superintendent Reeves, Paul Shane, Chief Superintendent Edward Turner, Mona Hammond, Mrs. Fairwater, Ray Lonnan, Norman Driver, and Oscar James was Cuthbert Norville. Malcolm Kay was Ashley Lee, Don Gile, Tristan White, Michael Onslow, P.C. Cooper, John Sampson, Julian Walters, and Vivian Rochester, Sally Fields. Andrew Wincott was John Rouse. Gary Lawrence, James Telfer, Steve Hodson, John Evitts, John Fleming, and John Webb played other roles. Technical presentation was by Roy Fraser, Colin Guthrie, and Jill Abram. The director was Ned Shire.
No problem. Cheers.